Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Who is the real, true Jesus? Now, there are many beliefs concerning Jesus. There are those who believe that he was just a man. There are those who believe that he was somehow a perfect righteous man. He was not God. He was not God in the flesh. He was not creator. But somehow, he was able to qualify to be the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. Well, who was the real Jesus? Let's find out more from the Bible. We've already seen that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, did the apostles and disciples understand from the beginning of their ministry, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was really God manifested in the flesh? Let's see what they wrote. Let's see what happened here. Now let's come to Acts, the first chapter in verse 1. And this was written by Luke, and Luke was supervised by Paul. So actually, the book of Acts is really the work of Paul carried out by his secretary, or pneumasis, Luke. So he writes, in the first account, which was the Gospel of Luke, I indeed have written, O Theophilus, concerning all the things that Jesus both began to do and to teach from the beginning, until the day that he was taken up after giving command by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now again, notice the Holy Spirit was the power that Jesus had, not a person. Now notice what he did, to whom also, by many infallible proofs, he presented himself alive after he had suffered, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. So they saw him. He taught them. What did he teach them? Did they by this time understand that he was greater than just another man? Did they understand that he was actually God, who had come in the flesh, being made in the flesh? Now, we'll talk about that a little later on when we talk about his sacrifice and so forth. But did they understand that? Because that's vital to know. And this gives us kind of an inkling of what Jesus taught them for the 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it's also interesting, when Jesus began his ministry, he began it with a 40-day and night fast and confrontation with Satan the devil to overcome the God of this world and the evil that he perpetrates in it. And he overcame them. He was the one who was the champion. He was the one who was God, as we will see, in the flesh. But he overcame Satan the devil when he was at the very weakest possible, when he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, for those of us living in the flesh today, more than 2 or 3 days of fasting without any food or water is pretty much the limit that we can endure. But being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he was able to do it. So those first 40 days began his ministry. Now the last 40 days, he was teaching them and talking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now come here to the last chapter of the book of Luke, and we will see that he started that from the very first day that he was resurrected. Now, he was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath during the week in which the crucifixion took place. He ascended to the Father on the first day of the week. Now, we'll get into all of those details. He was not resurrected on the first day of the week. And Easter Sunday, which honors a pagan goddess, has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing whatsoever. Period. Now, on that first day of the week, when he appeared to the two walking to Emmaus, and then after they got there, and Jesus gave the blessing on the meal, then those two disciples understood that it was Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. So they ran back to the apostles as quickly as they could get back there. And they told them about the whole situation that went on. Now let's come to Luke 24 and verse 36. Now as they were telling these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." How did he get there? Walk right through the wall, right through the door, whichever one. Because he is a spirit being, he had the ability to do that. Hey, they were terrified and filled with fear, thinking they had beheld a demon spirit. That was not so. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts come up in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, it is I. Touch me and see for yourselves, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones." So he was able to manifest himself to where he looked like that he was a human being. But notice he said, flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. Because as a spirit being, you don't need blood. Now, when we're resurrected and enter the kingdom of God, we'll understand that even more. But this is all we're told here. Now notice, after that, verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were still disbelieving and wondering for joy, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" Then they gave him part of a broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb. He took these and ate in their presence. Now, here's the beginning of Jesus teaching the apostles. Much more intense teaching, much more profound. And here is where he began, as we will see in just a little bit, that they understood that he was God in the flesh. Now they call it incarnation in most of Christianity, but the Bible calls it, as we'll see in a bit, God manifested in the flesh. That's why he made mankind after the image of God the Father and the one who became Jesus Christ. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And remember, the rest of the Bible shows that we are to become after the God kind, be in the family of God. That's the whole purpose of why Christ came, the whole purpose of everything that we find in the New Testament. Now, we'll cover all of these topics as we go along, because you see, here at Church at Home, we preach the Bible. We teach what the Bible says. We go by the Scriptures. If the Scriptures don't tell us and it's not clear, we say the Scriptures only tell us so much and it's not clear. We don't add in any traditions of men. We accept no authority from any theologians. We accept the teachings of the Bible as led by the Spirit of God and the truth of God, which is the Spirit of truth for us to understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Now notice, verse 44, "And he said to them, 'These are the words that I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all the things which were written concerning me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." Now, here is a key thing. The way you have your minds open to understand the Scriptures is this. Number one, you seek the truth of God. Number two, when you find the things that you know you need to do as defined in the Word of God, which are simple and easy to understand, you do it. And number three, if you do these things, especially on the Sabbath day, now that means you also need to study all the other 6 days. But if you do those things and start that way, God will begin likewise to open your mind to the truth. See, because the carnal mind, the mind that we have, human nature, is enmity against God and not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And it can't receive the things of God because it is hostile and contrary to God and deceitful above all things. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, according as it is written, it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and in his name repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, for you are witnesses of these things. And then he says, I am going to send the promise of the Father upon you, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. And what was the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit, the power of God. You see, even Jesus Christ made it absolutely clear that there was no such thing as God, the Holy Spirit, a person. Power of God. Now, let's come to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. And so what we do here on Church of Home is just what we said we do concerning how to understand the scriptures, the 14 rules of Bible study. Now, we have that right online. You can download that. We have many other articles online. You can download that. Now, a book that you really need is this book, Lord, What Should I Do? With everything that's going on in the world, and literally Christianity of this world going to hell in a handbasket, you need to know what you need to do. You need to know what God wants you to do. God wants you to come to Him. And if you come to Him and seek Him, He will come to you. And just like we read, your mind will be open to understand the scriptures. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want the truth of God? Don't you want to understand it? Don't you want to understand the words of eternal life? Don't you want to understand why Jesus Christ had to die? Now you need this other book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, which explains all about His crucifixion, why He had to die, why it was Jesus Christ, and no one else could do it. Now, let's come to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. Let's go back to verse 14, and we will read the context coming up to verse 16. These things I'm writing to you, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I should delay, you have these writings so that you may know how one is obligated to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And that's what the church of God needs to stay and remain, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of the commandments of God, the truth of everything concerning about God. Now notice what he says right here in verse 16. And undeniably, great is the mystery of godliness. God, Theos in the Greek, was manifested in the flesh. Didn't we read back in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and the Word was made flesh? Yes, indeed. Was justified by the Spirit, or that is through the Spirit. He was able to do these things and be justification for the sins of all mankind, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among the Gentiles, was believed on in the world, was received up in glory. They knew that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Now let's see how Paul also wrote of it at an earlier time. See, he wrote this, perhaps in about 63 AD, after he had preached to a great many people and raised up a great number of churches. Now let's come to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is the first letter that he wrote, or epistle that he wrote, to the church at Corinth. Now, the Corinthians had many, many spiritual problems, many of the same problems we have today. And that's why the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians is written, so that we would know that the churches of God would have difficulties, and that the churches of God would have to fight a lot of false doctrine and fight against idolatry and fight against false prophets, and sin in the church, sin in their lives. Now let's begin right here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Now I do not wish you to be ignorant of this, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now that's the children of Israel as Moses brought them out, and they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. And they all ate the same spiritual meat, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. Now notice what follows. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This is telling us directly that the one who became Jesus Christ was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, the rock. Now let's come back here to Psalm 18, and we're going to see how David prayed to God. And let's understand that he wrote this psalm after God gave him a great victory. All right? Notice his approach to God. Now, we can use the Psalms as examples of how to pray and how to have a right approach to God. He was direct with God. Notice what he said. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Have you ever said that to God? That you love God? Well, that's the whole beginning of understanding the Word of God. And the whole purpose of our being called and converted is to learn to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. Now, verse 2, read this. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, and my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Boy, that's something. Let's come over here to verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. Do you count everything that God does as perfect? His way is perfect. His law is perfect. His commandments are perfect. He is perfect. His word is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do you take refuge in God when you have trouble? Do you go before God and say, oh, God, help? Or do you try and work it out with your own devices? For who is God besides the Lord, or who is a rock except our God? So this shows that the Lord God of the Old Testament was in fact the one who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament, God manifested in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Now, these are some extraordinary truths that you need to understand concerning who is the real Jesus, the true Christ. So, once again, don't forget, you can have these books absolutely free. The day Jesus the Christ died, you need to understand and comprehend the full biblical and scriptural truth concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The book, Lord, What Should I Do? Living in the terrible evil world that we are living in, and it gets worse and worse as we go along, you need to know, Lord, what should I do? What do you want of me? And that will help to keep you from being deceived from the events that are coming on this world. And it is only the truth that is going to set you free. And it is only the righteousness of God that is going to relieve you from your sins and problems that you are facing. It is only God fighting for you so you can overcome your problems and difficulties and battles that you face. Yes, the Lord is my rock. Is he your rock? Once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope that these messages you really take to heart, and you act upon them, and you do something with them, because God is working and calling a people in the last days, just before the return of Christ, who are going to love him and serve him. Will you be one of those? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.